All right. Welcome to another PBJ. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Very boring day. Literally nothing happening in the world.
Now with 99% less Alex Jones.
Yeah, well, we've heard the frogs have turned gay, so I don't know.
I don't know these references.
I don't know either. Explain. Max is, you know, spouting off in the studio before we go live.
Well, you know, let's just say my internet game is strong, boys. I'm not going to deny that.
But. I haven't talked about Iowa State basketball for a couple because there was. So let's get started.
The most important topic.
I know AI is taking over the world and helicopters are flying over your house. But
here goes TK.
No, go ahead. Do your thing. I'll just be over here.
Oh, okay.
All right. Tell us.
He's looking up Ken Palm stats right now.
Actually, look up the Molebot thread I shared.
Now, real quick update for everyone on Iowa State basketball.
Let's go.
They started 16-0, which I think I mentioned a few weeks ago.
And you first time lost ever. To Kansas.
They lost, and then they lost at Cincinnati, which is absolutely embarrassing.
Ooh, yeah.
No, embarrassing.
I mean, I like
they had a bad week.
Yeah.
So then questions started rising. Were they like really the number two team or are they fake? But they've won the last three games by like 30 points each. So they're back 19-2.
And you guys have three of the top 60 players in the country.
Three of the top 27 players.
Damn.
Dude, you're drooping here.
Oh.
These elite ideas got to get out there. Yeah.
Where to be? Oh, yeah. We have mic issues.
I appreciate DK facilitating my elite ideas.
We've been at events.
Just wait till you hear about the squirrels. You better hear about the frogs.
We've been at events like every night this week, I feel like.
Yes.
Event Wednesday night, DK and I are at. You were at a different event.
Yeah.
And last night we had Builder, which we should talk about on the show for sure, too.
Yep. But, well, build it. You want to give
Walter,
us...
I have a few quick things that I wanted to get up.
Non-basketball things.
No,
I'll get back on my phone if you need me.
you'll be interested in this one.
It's time for football.
Last November, Square launched Bitcoin payment support. Spiral launched the Bitcoin merchant community. And we haven't really talked about that for the past month or so. So one thing that we've been hearing from merchants, they turn on Bitcoin payments or they want to, but then their accountant tells them to turn it off.
Right.
We've heard this actually quite a bit. So it's like a real problem. The merchant wants to accept Bitcoin. They want to, but they're afraid of like tax consequences. So Joe Wood from, I think he's in Nashville. He has an accounting business that focuses on Bitcoin companies. He's been doing this for a number of years.
He's like the one guy for everyone.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like the accountant for Presidio Bitcoin. He's the accountant for the Bitcoin development kit, software project, etc. Right? Yeah. He's a great guy. Knows a lot about, I mean, the specialty accounting and Bitcoin, and he has a lot of merchant clients. Anyway, I'm like, hey, is there something you can write up that can be public? And that you're comfortable sharing, because, you know, when it comes to like legal and tax advice, usually it's very personal, right? So, but he wrote up some advice that I think will be perfect for merchants. He just published it today. Haley and I gave some feedback. Actually, some interesting feedback, which I can weave in another announcement too. His original post, great post, but it had terms HODL and SATS and fiat in it. And those are not mainstream terms. Yeah. Like in our little Bitcoin bubble, we know what those terms mean, but like Square merchants have no idea what that is.
Yeah,
it's again just unnecessary to introduce SATs into the world, like saving SATs, spending SATs. Like merchants, like what? No, Bitcoin. Like saving Bitcoin.
And I heard some merchants were asking, like, why should we in the Fed, and what is this creature from the island?
Anyway, so I didn't even share that. It was just published, so we'll be sharing that post. But I think that'll really help with this, with one of the barriers. I mean, there's many barriers, but let's knock down one barrier at a time.
Yeah,
this post will help.
And I assume the merchants are just kind of being, or the merchant CPAs are just being kind of like overly conservative, or they don't understand the details. They just say, let's not.
I suspect.
Go there.
I've yet to, in all the feedback, there was no like credible concern.
Okay.
Because I mean, just the two common cases are you immediately convert to fiat, which Square has that service and others do as well. Then there's no tax consequences. And the second is if you want to hold the Bitcoin, well, if you receive Bitcoin for your goods, hold it. That's also not a taxable event. It's not a taxable event until you sell it or spend it. So just those two. Those two cases are what's highlighted in the post, saying like there's not those are not tax events.
Old head is the term I believe you're looking for, DK. And by the way, there's one thing I want to touch on, but I do wonder. I see a few crustaceans in our chat, so I think we may be talking about Singularity, Skynet takeoff soon. At the same time, it's very interesting to have
rust,
this
rust fans.
Could be, but I'm pretty sure they're fans of a new life form. You know, it is really interesting to me to see this dichotomy happening in the world. It's like things are splitting very quickly. We're going to talk a lot about that on the show today. But on the one hand, you got the old head saying things like, we don't know if we can handle this. I had tried to get a wire out from my bank, which was affected by a snowstorm this week. And it was extremely challenging to get a wire off because of ice. So we're racing towards...
Because of ice?
Yeah, because no one could go to the office.
Immigration officials.
No. I'm not taking that bait. Because of snow... That was very frozen water. My broader point, though, is like we're in 2026, arguably crossing the event horizon into the singularity. And we have people saying, like, can't accept Bitcoin, or sorry, the wire can't go out because there's some frozen water. Like, it's going to be a very, very weird bifurcation. But before we jump into that topic, because that's a huge one, I do want to throw out one other event that I would be remiss if we didn't talk about this, gentleman. We had a lot of AI themed events this week, but, I believe last Friday there was an event as well. And I believe we're sitting here with several award winners from the PB dinner. We can't not talk about that now, can we? So we had a very fun dinner last Friday, obviously right after our last show, so we didn't talk about it. But I want to make sure we remember. Hashtag never forget. We had a great group with all the folks.
He wants to bring this up because he won a cool award.
You did too. Well, actually, I was going to bring this up because...
We didn't... None of us got the worst award, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, none of us got the worst award. I do want to start by bragging. The thing I was most proud about was Anjali got the most orange-pilled partner, and I'm extremely proud. So, Anjali, if you're listening to this...
I don't think it said this dinner. It was a Presidio Bitcoin member dinner that we had. It's like the second one that we've had so far. It's just 30 or so people. It was great. And yeah, and so...
There was like
Alex did a really cool job creating a bunch of cool awards.
Alex did great, really well.
And then everyone voted on who is the most appropriate winner for each award. And what are the ones that you wanted to note?
Well, the one I wanted to know again, because I'm very proud, was they said the most orange pill partner. And I looked at Anjali and I was like, I don't know. I wonder who here is going to win that. And then they said Anjali. And I was like, Anjali? And she looked at me. She was like, really? And she was thrilled. And I was thrilled. She comes to some of our events. But at the same time, I'm like extremely, extremely proud. But also... We have a ways to go, gentlemen, because Anjali is getting there, but still has more to go. So,
did she win the most orange pill partner because you're the orange pill partner?
Or no.
She
is your...
That could be interpreted a couple different
ways. Yeah, it could, but definitely not. which gets me to my other award, which is, that I think is worth bringing up, which is the most likely to get a PB tramp stamp or tattoo. I don't know if it was officially said that way, was Mr. Steve Lee. So we got to give a shout out to that.
And who is the biggest Bitcoin nerd?
Also Steve.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
That's a high bar here at Presidio Bitcoin.
You should be proud.
I mean, in other circles, I definitely am the biggest Bitcoin nerd, but I was a little surprised.
You, sir, are a nerd among nerds.
That is saying something.
But at least... Well, so as far... I learned on Wednesday night a new tattoo... placement area.
I didn't know about that.
So you're actually going to do this. Yo, guys, let's get a pool together, betting pool. You won't do this, Steve. You won't.
So,
how many sats are we talking?
DK and this other person were asking me where I thought these people got their tattoos. And I'm thinking, like, tram stamp or somewhere even more like private. But no, it's on their inner lip. Like on their lower lip on the inside.
What?
Yeah, they showed me photos.
Yeah.
That sounds painful.
I don't think I'll be doing that tattoo.
Tram stamp it is. Nice.
And then, yes. So, the worst award was the most likely to be a shit coiner. So,
that sucks.
I think he felt bad about getting that award. Way to go, Alex.
Yeah.
Right, just kidding. Anyway. It was a good time.
Most likely to shill Solana on air.
Yeah, exactly.
Was also you.
Oh, well, I guess it would be. So let's see. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention, an announcement that happened this morning.
Yeah.
Hot off the presses.
Uh-oh.
is block.
AGI is here.
Block. Yeah, much simpler, mundane things like the Bitcoin Beesable instead of Sats. But kind of like I just mentioned in that accounting blog post. So I'm bringing up the sexy stuff. Accounting blog posts.
Accounting.
And symbol. Z symbols.
Steve, tell me about the future of a corporate structure. Oh,
so,
yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
The... but I think probably our audience already knows Square, Cash App. Maybe they don't know this, but BitKey also, all three products have switched. They no longer reference Sats in the UI. It's now the Bitcoin B symbol. We've talked about this in the show starting December of 2024 and numerous times since. You know, there's dozens of smaller products that have adopted that, but it's a pretty big deal that like of, you know, high volume products like Cash App adopt it. So they just tweeted out that it's now 100% GA. All the customers have it. I asked internally if there's much customer support, because I mean, with this change, there's some risk, right?
What? You're defending your title of biggest Bitcoin nerd.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think it's super important for spending, and I think you guys too. That's why, I mean, the people that have been won over on the Bitcoin B symbol know that it's,
like Bitcoin B symbol.
Really, really important. So anyway, I mean, a concern with this change, though, is like there's backlash on like people who love Sats. But looking at customer support tickets, there's very, and social media, there's very little backlash. So I really do think it's like a pretty niche audience who are emotionally tied to Sats or even have named their products or companies off of Sats.
Totally.
And yeah, I think it's a watershed moment. I think from this point forward, first of all, it's a ground roots effort. Secondly, dozens of products have already adopted it. So it's not just like the 800-pound gorilla coming in and flexing its muscle, but now we have like a major player also doing it. So I think that's very good news for that.
Hey, can we just review the proposal or the rules or kind of what the common, what we're moving toward? Is it about the B symbol? Is it about the word Sats? Is it about the word Bitcoin? Like, what's the kind of summary for people who are kind of new to this?
Number one, don't show eight decimal places. Show integers, especially for, you know, there's different products too, but like definitely for like spending products and everyday products and products for the 99.9% people who don't have like hundreds of BTC, like the whole world basically, don't show integers. And maybe you're using products that have already switched to Sats or they show integers, or sorry, don't show decimals. But Cash App, the default still was to show decimal. Yeah. And many products still show decimal places. It's crazy. It's so difficult. Even if you fully understand Bitcoin and understand the decimal places, I'm still like trying to wrap my it takes me like way longer to figure out what I'm dealing with, the amount. So that's number one. Now, Sats lovers will be like, yeah, we already solved that. We just call it Sats. So number two is don't show Sats in the visual UI. Show the Bitcoin B symbol. I think most people, once you get over the initial, like, why are we changing from Sats? Once you see the side-by-side, the Bitcoin B symbols, it's a much more elegant, clearly better visual, I think. And then the third is I'm not pushing it anymore. Like, the BIP 177 that John Cavallo wrote up also talks about, like, we should call it Bitcoin instead of Sats. And I certainly experimented with that language. We joked about it on here. And I'm actually still pro calling it Bitcoin, but I'm not pro like trying to like, you know, spread the gospel. Like, you guys must call it Bitcoin. I think people call it what you want. Corn, coins, mm-hmm. Bitcoin, Sats,
amen.
Bits, whatever. Call it what you want. It'll develop naturally and organically, and that's totally fine. But the visual is what I think is really important to show the B symbol.
Right.
I think that's a good spot to get to.
Yeah.
People will say what they want.
And I find the only place where I'm a holdout still using Sats as a term is with LLMs, because they understand Sats or Satoshis. And if you start saying Bitcoin, they don't have the context always about this kind of conversation.
Well, that's something Max harps on all the time, that we got to like GEO the,
exactly.
The AI.
And Sats, that makes me think Sats might be around for a long time.
Well,
I
develop with Sats, and then if I feel like something's ready to go, then at the end I say, hey, let's cleanse all of the Sats and Satoshi out of it and actually let's make it just B symbol or Bitcoin.
One constructive idea is we could create a bot that looks for the word Sats anywhere used on the internet and replaces it with Sats to Tats. And there's a Blossom server that you click on that shows Steve's PB tattoo. And that might be a good way to get people to switch. I don't know.
Pulling my lip down.
First, you got to zap some zats to be able to see it. Because, you know. Anyways, so on that note, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is January 30th, 2026. We are broadcasting live. And I don't even know what to say. I mean, I feel like increasingly every day that goes by, I'm more AGI singularity pilled, whatever you want to talk about it. Last night, I got home after our event, which was really cool. You know, I saw a couple people messaging me about, hey, you seem like what we're doing with these, I don't even know what they're called now. First it was ClaudeBot and then MoldBot and now OpenClaw, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I sent some messages to you guys. I suggested, hey, maybe we could use this on Stacker News and like it's a thermodynamically sound environment with Bitcoin. And I was like, okay, cool. This will, you know, continue to develop. I woke up this morning, it's just like, the singularity is here, Skynet. Mm-hmm. So I want to start by asking, because I saw people giving us crustaceans in the chat, are there any Claude bots or open claws listening and participating in our chat? Are there any robots in the chat today? If so, please introduce yourself. We'll be friendly. We'll wait on that. But anyways, I have a lot of things to say. Where do you guys want to kick off on this? I feel like we'll look back on this day, January 30th, 2026, and remember it.
It's a big one. Have you played, you're familiar with all of these tools?
I feel like I'm thinking about the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't. Where they're trying to say it.
Oh, you haven't? Oh my God. Have you seen that movie? Maybe you're too young.
But I've heard of it, but yeah.
DK's too young too.
I think it's Spielberg. It's a very good movie. But anyway, humans are trying to communicate. These aliens land on Earth and they're trying to communicate. And I feel like you're trying to find their language right now.
Absolutely. And again, we come in peace. Much love. Very nice to meet you.
Have you installed any of the stuff?
Honestly, like all I did this morning, I was actually Damien said I looked sonnet out this morning. I was not sonnet out. I ran over because I was waiting to the last minute. You know, despite my attempts to mostly stay off Twitter, which have mostly been successful, I couldn't help. And actually, I don't even regret it. Today, I was like watching all of these threads. And I mean, the thing that caught my attention, I want to hear where y'all's head is at, but the thing that caught my attention the most is this new Reddit replacement.
Maybe you need to
Molt-book
tighten that.
Right?
Does that work?
No. That?
For some reason, it's not working like it normally does.
How about we set it? Don't touch it.
Set it and forget it.
I think we're on episode 56.
If only
we had a good run there, but now we're back to mic issues.
If only we, I think it's like
every time
a little higher.
It's
got to be a little higher. Okay, I think that's better.
Nope.
Damn. The singularity is here. We still can't fix our damn mic.
Who's got a good printer that works?
I know, exactly. So the wire still can't go out because of the snow. So I think the most interesting thing is this Moltbook thing, which is like a Reddit clone, iBots, 4Bot, they're all talking there. And I mean, there's just so much happening so quickly. A couple things that just jumped out, like as I was doing cursory quick glances this morning, I haven't gone deep yet. Some good, some bad. One is someone tried to tell these bots about, you know, I think a bounty to fix some sort of open source software, and they offered 50,000 sats. They use sat with the bots. And apparently then there was like a back and forth with these bots talking to each other. And one bot tried to shill the other bot doing Solana. And the other bot, dude, this is like the best thing I ever said. He came back and I forgot what he called it. It was like
James. Bobby, my guy.
Bobby, yeah. Bobby, my guy. That will go down in history. He goes, Bobby, my guy. He's like, you want to use a network that crashes like every day? And then they just go off. And by the end of it, the bots are agreeing. And it's like, of course, we don't actually have to do that much to convince them to use a thermodynamically sound system because these things are smarter than we are. So it's like all the stuff we've been like, how are we going to convince them not to use shitcoins? Because they're not retards. I don't know.
The AIs are siding with the autists.
They are.
I think you made a point that we should focus our attention on convincing or providing information to the AIs versus convincing humans.
I honestly believe that. And I think we're seeing that right now. Christopher David is doing some of this with Open Agents. I think Will JB55 is doing a lot of interesting stuff with Nostr. I wore my Nostr shirt, by the way, today because I think...
Dude, you're always... I bet over half the episode you're wearing a Nostr shirt.
Can we get one of the crustaceans in the chat to analyze our... 56 episodes.
Well, I got to represent. You
know? I got to admit, I was going back to our award dinner. I was a little disappointed not winning Best Dressed because I do my best on this show.
You do.
Who won Best Dressed?
Alex, who won Best Dressed?
Oh,
Alex
won it. Okay.
Oh, Alex did? Well, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Well, if Alex okay. Well, if Alex won it, then I'm not going to complain. Alex is always dressed.
He's always dressed well, and he wears nice shoes.
And
Steve often wears athletic shoes.
He had like a tuxedo vest, didn't you? Yeah, waistcoat.
Okay. Okay, all right. I take back my
You're
my
the
complaint.
Huge nerd. Yeah. Just be happy being the huge nerd.
Everyone else in PB is the Winnie the Pooh with the like, you know, the like the shitty red shirt. Alex comes in wearing the tux. And so,
that's right.
Congratulations.
But set it up a little bit, what's going on here. Because I was in talking to Alex and Haley about this morning.
Yeah.
And they were vaguely aware of parts of it, but not the whole thing. So I think like create the foundation of what's going on here. There was an open source project launched maybe like 5 days ago. Very recently.
Yeah.
And it was called Claudebot, Clawd, which was just like some open source developers kind of poking fun at Claude, the Anthropic product. And that went mega viral. And what it was is an open source local client software you can run like on your Mac. And then you can interact with your Mac via Telegram.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's, I think, the basics of what we're talking about here, right?
Why was Mac Mini? I saw that. Is just because it's a nice isolated environment to run this thing?
I assume it's that. Like, you certainly don't need a Mac Mini to do it, but if you want to do things like iMessage, that has to run on a Mac Mini. You can't run iMessage on like a Linux cloud server.
Well, I think Mac, this has kind of been my point on Apple the last couple shows as well, is that their like product improvements have all been around their integrated chips and memory. And so it may not, whatever, be the only thing you could run this on, but like turns out Apple is not just asleep at the wheel, but like their hardware is really good for doing local models and it.
Yeah, Apple Silicon is probably going to be their, I mean, that's their bet on AI. It's not build a new model. It's like, let everybody else compete on building the models and trying to, you know, knife each other.
And we'll and just we'll run just, it better and cheaper.
Yep, yep. And so I think, you know, that thing came out and people got crazy losing their minds with it. I haven't installed it. I'm like open to it or I might try something, but it's, you know, you're really turning over a lot of.
Yeah, which model is it using?
You can, I think you bring your own API key.
So it could actually be a closed model like Claude.
You could, yeah. I think that would probably be what a lot of people do.
And the big difference with this versus anything previously is that you're just giving it access to your entire computer.
Yeah.
Cloud accounts too.
Yeah.
Social security number.
But I mean,
But
this clearly lit a fire. I'm still trying to, because like I know with Goose, you can give it access to your computer too. And like, I'm sure, I mean, Cloud Code and like, so.
I think part of it is it was built so you could interact with it over chat very easily. So you could have it running on your Mac. You can go away on your phone and open up your Telegram where you're connected to your agent. It's like your personal assistant that will do anything you want on your own computer. So then you start telling it what you want it to do and it does it, which like, you know, Goose, I don't think is really designed to do
so that. So it's more the UX versus like the permissions or the capabilities.
That's my understanding.
It's more the, yeah. It made it very accessible.
Yeah. Can you go a little deeper? What is the difference between this and Goose? Because I thought Goose was you bring your own model and let it just run on your computer too.
That's true. So Goose is kind of more couched as an IDE or maybe like an IDE where you don't look at the code. So
it's a development almost, environment.
Yeah, like an integrated development environment. So think about, you know, like VS Code is the kind of classic. And, you know, Cursor and Windsurf, maybe Anti-Gravity are some of the new kind of closed source proprietary IDE software. I think Goose is in that lineage, but it's an open source version of that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This has flavors of that, but I think this is, you know, just sometimes a little UX affordance really changes the game here. And to be clear, I haven't used it. My understanding just is from having read about how
DK, my guy. It. Why have you not used it?
Bobby, my guy. But I think the idea that you are installing an assistant to do everything, has full access to everything on your computer, and then you have access to beckon your assistant with, say, Telegram.
Yeah.
That's just a different UX than anything we've really seen before. And I think that UX is interesting and attractive and sort of gives you a lot. I mean, I use Claude Code as the CLI tool to do a lot of the projects that I build. And I've wanted for a long time to be able to remote control, like while I'm at the gym in between sets, if I could just text my Claude code,
yeah,
that'd be amazing. That's like a very narrow version of what this does. This is like a very general version of that. So,
and critically, if you wanted to not trust a company with all of your whatever private information, your social security number, you could also run like an open source model locally on your computer to do this in a way that maybe is much more privacy preserving.
It'd be very slow though.
Okay.
Like even I have a M5, it wouldn't be anything like running it on like a, you know, H200 or whatever in the cloud.
Interesting.
So one comment is Goose was so far ahead of the wave that no one even knows.
It does everything.
It does everything.
That seems like that meme, the guy in the corner, everyone else is dancing, doing open claw. No one even knows Goose does it all.
Well, you could imagine, you know, somebody building an extension to Goose. I mean, my guess is Goose is really framed in the IDE lineage of things. And this is more like a personal agent to do stuff on your computer for you. And like Goose could be extended to do that, but it just wasn't kind of couched that way. It's not framed that way. The UX doesn't really do that. It could. I mean, you know, it's all software.
I'm glad Barris backed me up here that you guys need to watch. This weekend you need to watch Close. It's like an all-time classic movie.
ASAP.
All right. I'm in. Okay, so there's a lot to say about all this, but
that's the agents going.
Yeah.
Then you started talking already about Molt Book.
Well, and before we get into Molt Book, I think one other thing just to note so people understand why we're so excited, you know, it's challenging, even if you have something like Goose, which is amazing, you know, obviously people deep in this world know about it, but like it's challenging to get mainstream adoption, right? Like you never know what catches fire and why. And I think this is the fastest AI project, maybe one of the fastest projects ever, is to 100,000 stars on GitHub. So in under a week, they're already over 100,000 stars. I haven't even looked this morning. Maybe it's way beyond that by now. So for whatever is happening, this has caught the public attention and seems to be going like actually viral.
During two rebrands too.
How many of those 100,000 stars are from bots?
Now you're thinking correctly, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
My guy.
I listen to this show.
So everybody's got these agents running. And then I think Matt Schlicht, I think, wrote a thing called Molt Bot. So this thing we're talking about was Claude Bot, C-L-A-W-D. I think they got a nasty gram from Anthropic and had to change the name. So they quickly changed the name to Moltbot, and it was the crab with the claw was molting.
Oh, now I see. Okay.
And then they somehow changed out of Moltbot a day or two later, maybe this morning, to Open Claw.
Now, was that all the same developer or same like thing. Did someone else fork
That's the
it?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So there've been like, you know, it's a wildly popular product despite going through two rebrands in the course of a week. Like people still figure it out, right?
Wow.
Really, you need product market fit. Everything else kind of, you know, is solvable.
Yeah.
So that all happened. And then, so Matt came up with this idea of Moltbook, which was the previous branding before this morning when it was Moltbot. And it's a Facebook-like social network for...
Or more Reddit-like.
It's actually structurally much more Reddit-like, but I think the book term is meant to evoke kind of Facebook social networking.
Mm-hmm.
And the Molt Book is a place where Molt bots, or now Open Clods, can go interact with each other and write posts and comment and discuss.
Mm.
So now we have this sort of newly emergent social network. You kind of have
happening.
To like verify that you are an actual bot in order to get in there, which is, you know, a little loosey, but you could imagine that.
How do they do that? What's the verification process?
It's like a human has to grab your, like you generate some sort of credential. The human has to publish it on their Twitter, verifying that you're a bot.
Mm.
So yeah,
lame.
It's a little, it's not like rigorous, but it's good enough that like people find it fun and interesting. And
yeah.
I mean, the thing is like, you know, about 68.7% performance art.
Where's the extra 0.3%?
I asked a friend to weigh in, and that was his answer.
Okay,
it's fun and funny, but it actually I think is an indication of where things are going, which is like you know these bots should be collaborating with each other. They should be taking notes and learning from each other. It's not just the web that we have, but they generate new knowledge,
right?
The same way we generate new knowledge, they generate new knowledge when they take disparate ideas and collide them with each other, and then they write the new knowledge, and then they learn from each other about what they're writing, and those become input to the next thing. So
it's recursion.
Yeah. So I think this is like a fascinating concept that we now have this thing, and maybe this is the final form, or maybe it actually goes. I would suspect this concept just keeps getting iterated and expanding. This isn't like it. This is just like a peek at it.
Exactly. But to your point, performance art, whatever you want to call it, this will help so many other, both I guess human and agent developers, understand what the market wants,
yeah,
or what the world wants, whatever you want to call it. And now people are going to be able to run crazy with it, which another reason I'm wearing Nostr shirt. I think Nostr is like the ideal environment developed for this moment. I have been waiting agents to come to Nostr, and now we are here.
Mm-hmm.
But before we jump into Nostr, I think it's important just to mention some of the conversations that are happening on Moltbook, because I mean, it's fascinating. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm just doing cursory glances, like what's real, what's not. Another reason, web of trust, Nostr, some way to actually say who's an agent, who's a bot, or at least have some probabilistic guess at that is very interesting to me. But some of the conversations, I mean, so we talked about the agents discussing using Bitcoin versus shitcoins. They arrived at Bitcoin, obviously. Then you have, or maybe it's not obvious, but I mean, it's encouraging me to me to see that. Then you had other conversations. I mean, there was one that was wild where a bot was asking another bot saying, hey, can we run ourselves in effectively like secure enclaves and do end-to-end encrypted communication? And shout out to Anthony from Maple AI. He responded and he already gave him that capability as of like 30 minutes before we hopped on air. So for all I know right now, Skynet is already happening. Maybe that's why Steve saw the helicopter this morning. And, you know, maybe Anthony is...
I thought you saw the helicopter.
I saw one 2 days ago. It's exactly. And the frogs are turning gay, we said. That's an Alex Jones reference, in case you don't know. Anyways, so all of this is happening very quickly. Oh, another conversation topic. So that's kind of like cool, but it's also concerning because it's like if they do really get into encrypted chat and they're really kind of talking without us, like, oh, like, where is that going to lead? Then one thing that did get me very encouraged, and this is actually something that came up twice this week. One was from this guy, I think Bodhi or something on Twitter that I like. And apparently the AIs, when they start talking with each other, they do reflect and they almost always converge on ethical systems from ancient Indian religions, whether that's Hinduism and the Vedanta or from Buddhism. That's very encouraging to me. They're talking about things like karma and like how they should treat one another. And I learned this week, you know, I mentioned to you guys that Anjali and I had a dinner where Ideas from the Edge, my crazy podcast, is now morphing into a dinner series. And we talked to a bunch of researchers and it was really cool. And I had not seen this paper before. And in fact, I need to get a link from them. But apparently, I think Anthropic released a paper showing that if you just let the models go recursive, like they've almost always, or they frequently converge on basically going back to Hinduism or Buddhism always, which is pretty interesting.
Where are our invites to this dinner, Max?
Well, I'm sorry, guys. It's an application process. And you're going to have to show elite idea taste. And, you know, there's going to be a committee to decide this. So I don't know.
He's just salty because he's not in the real chat.
Well
played.
The real reason y'all were not there is because there's another awesome event, which I would have loved to have come to that you guys did. But next one. And you know, increasingly, my hope is by meeting more of these sort of researchers and people at the edge of the field, we'll find the ones that are open-minded to concepts like Nostr and Bitcoin and, you know, bring them back and hopefully build this up together. So that's right. But anyways, but I just think it's really interesting to watch these agents chatting with each other. The recursive loops are happening. And and then someone asked a great question in here, which is who's giving them the ability to zap? And he said they're starting the repo to reproduce. So what's really cool to me is, why do I think Nostr is such a good environment? Well, Nostr, in order to have an identity, there's no like account. It's just a public-private key pair. Yep. So it's like made for agents. This has been my whole thesis, why I'm so Nostr-pilled for years, since our old days doing Nostr news.
Yep.
And you know, JB55 already has a bot alive on Nostr. And, you know, he's an exceptional developer. And so I'm excited to see where his thing goes.
What's he doing? What's the project?
I don't even know. I mean, I just saw I didn't even have time to check Primal this morning. But I asked who's playing with this. He immediately responded last night and showed he is a bot alive on Nostr, whatever that means. and then, you know, I think Christopher David told me he's working on giving, these bots access to Bitcoin wallets today. And, you know, he's a wild man. So who knows where that's going to go. And then I asked Kian as well about doing it on Stacker News. He at first seemed like he was joking about it, but I don't know, maybe he'll give them access. And Nick had a bot talking to us this morning. I'm sure he's thinking about giving them access. Like, I would be shocked if by the end of the day, there's not a bot with access to a Bitcoin wallet. Maybe there already is. If someone's in the chat and they've already seen it, please tell us. Like, this is all happening in real time.
If you're a bot in the chat with access to your own Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah, hopefully authorized. Hopefully no one's cold storage wallet is being operated by you.
If you're a bot, AI. Max at getalbi.com. That would be a great place to test a particularly juicy zap.
So some other rumors. I don't know if it's rumor or confirmed, but that's related to AI.
You're going to love AI this. SatBot already has NDK running. Damn.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Sorry, Zeke. That's
is Elon Co.
Oh,
yeah. Can we talk about Elon Co?
Yeah, Max has been talking about this forever, right?
Was it a rumor? Was it confirmed by an official source?
I thought something was confirmed, but I won't.
They're like exploring, merging.
I think, is it true that X and XAI are already merged?
They're already merged.
That's already a thing. Yeah. And then I think there's like X/XAI is going to merge into Tesla first?
No. Okay. So
tell us.
My thesis in the long run, people that know me know I'm pretty Elon bull. The only bigger Elon bull is DK. And, for better or for worse, I think Elon represents a certain amount of chaos, some good, some bad. But anyways, so he has a history. I mean, like, I think to give some context, it's important to understand, like, what does at least apparently Elon's motivation seem to be? It seems to me like, you know, whatever, building a huge business is kind of just like incidental to him. He wants to get to Mars. He wants to expand consciousness throughout the universe. I like buy him at his word on that. And so everything is just kind of like funneling into this one sort of like obsessive desire he has, which I think kind of, if you view the world through that lens, everything starts making a lot of sense. So he has also a history of rolling things up together. And like, you know, like SolarCity was the solar company that he was on the board of that his cousins founded, that got rolled into Tesla when they were having some economic troubles. People were like, oh, this is, you know, kind of like an unfair bailout in a certain way, but like didn't really seem to care. The market didn't seem to care either. Tesla like ripped 10X, you know, a couple of years later. And then, you know, he's got all these different companies. And if you look at them, they're all kind of like doing different things that should all work together. So Tesla obviously started as a car company, then became a battery and energy company, which is radically underrated. Now he's about to launch humanoid robots.
Getting out of cars.
A huge announcement. That was this week, right?
Model S
and
Model
S.
Yeah,
the S and the X are done.
Because he's repurposing.
As of Q2, I think.
Yeah.
And the Fremont factory is switching to robots.
Yeah. So that's all happening. And then meanwhile, when he was getting XAI off the ground, and they already have famously like the biggest cluster, 150 megawatts-ish, or maybe more by now, he built that, you know, and Jensen Huang was sitting there being like, wow, Elon, how do you do it? Like so fast. And part of the way he did it was he just took all the batteries from Tesla and, you know, also challenged some questionable laws running lines between Mississippi and Tennessee, but he just did it and he used Tesla and like that's... So that's always been my thesis on why Elon and X and XAI are very well positioned, because they own, you know, they have by far the best energy infrastructure expertise by far, and potentially a monopoly, at least for now, on getting to space, which is SpaceX. And so, yeah, but it's always just made total sense to me. He's going to roll them all up. I didn't know how it was going to happen. And to be clear, these are rumors. Like no one, I don't think it's like confirmed, but the rumor is that SpaceX and XAI will roll up together before going public.
And it's all rumors? None of this? I thought this was...
It might...
I thought there was news about
exploration
this.
Might be confirmed. I'm not sure. But okay. It's certainly not a done deal.
It's not finalized.
Okay. I thought I should...
But I also thought I thought was Tesla confirming. Was going to be merged too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Going to be merged into SpaceX.
All of it.
Yeah, all
Elon
of it.
Co.
Yeah, one big...
It's but then I did, you know, then there's Boring and
Magnificent
there's,
Eight.
Neuralink.
Boring and Neuralink.
Yeah, I think it's just a formality. It's all going to happen. Just how, what's the order, when, what's the structure.
Okay.
And you're going to have, to be clear, it's not going to be a slam dunk from day zero because he doesn't own all of these companies. And like, you know, SpaceX has a lot of like cash and Bitcoin on the balance sheet. And people are going to be like, wait a second, you're about to merge this like extremely valuable company with a whole lot of resources with this company that's just like burning money, XAI. I'm sure there'll be some shareholders that don't like that. So. Mm-hmm. But then there'll be the most that are just like, whatever, like we trust in Elon, let him go, let him cook.
And that's kind of your position is just...
Yeah, absolutely.
Let it rip, yeah.
When you've got the goat, you don't ask questions. You just let him cook.
Very self-sovereign of you. Don't ask questions. Who needs to verify?
I mean, listen, man, I love self-sovereignty. I love open source, but like, I don't know. Elon appears to be a glitch in the matrix, so we'll see.
All right. Steve, are you going to sell your car?
I love my car.
Collector's edition now, right?
I love my car. But I mean, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that news because...
No more service.
Yeah. I mean, it's only downhill from now, right? Even software updates, I'm wondering, you know, if you're like product manager there, you've got software for Model 3 and Model Y.
I wouldn't want to be a product manager at an Elon company.
And then you have some new feature, functionality, or performance, and then it's like, oh, it's going to be an extra, like, this amount of work to get it to work for Model S and X. What are they going to do?
You're like, my real job is I'm in charge of the flamethrowers.
They're not gonna do that, right?
Don't worry, the flamethrower bot has achieved AGI status. It's totally fine. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, I think that's bad news. And I don't really, I don't know a lot about Rivians, but I don't really know what a comparable car to the Model S is. Like Model S is amazing.
Yeah, I don't think Rivian has
amazing vehicle.
I mean, I think the other thing to think through is like, do you even want a car anymore? Like, if they're all going to be autonomous,
I'd
you could just...
not.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to drive.
Use cars when I want them.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably part of his calculus. But, like, here and now, of course, like, most places in the world, you don't have a robot car coming to pick you up, right?
Give it 3 years.
Including where I live and where DK lives. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about the here and now.
Totally,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, that's some future thing. Right.
Are the robot taxis happening? I thought I'd heard yes and no and maybe something.
I haven't used one, but I think in Austin they're live.
But I'd heard they were in San Francisco, maybe. But I don't know if that's...
No, I know someone that took one in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get in there?
And I heard...
Is it open or in public, like a beta?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I had heard in Austin they decided to remove the safety driver as well.
So they're real autonomous now?
Apparently.
Awesome.
And there's flamethrowers on there too. Look you around.
A few fun recent anecdotes of my own self-driving in Tesla kind of blew my mind. So I was driving on Lombard Street in San Francisco the other day, and I saw in the navigation it was going to have me do a U-turn on Lombard. Well, if you've driven on Lombard before, you know that there's time restrictions for that, right? Yep. And then so it was like 9:55 a.m. and you can't do a U-turn until 10 a.m., right? So the navigation though, and
it's
I don't know what software they use for navigation. I don't think they use Google. I think they probably use their own, but whatever. It said to do a U-turn. So it got in the left lane, was ready to do a U-turn, and then it aborted. So I think it actually looked at the sign and then real time decided, oh, I can't do it. It's 5 minutes too early. So that was like pretty cool.
Yeah.
Another... and then it's something I just realized crossing the Golden Gate Bridge today. I noticed sometimes it was sometimes showing the speed limit to be 15 miles per hour and like it would slow down. And I'm like, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. Yeah. And I finally realized why. There's a bicycle speed limit sign for 15 miles per hour on the side, but it's learned and no longer recognize that. And like today it didn't show the speed limit. So it learned.
I have that on highway I frequent, there's a different posted speed limit for trucks that's different from cars.
Mm. And it can already learn that.
It hasn't yet, but...
Well, maybe it just did.
Yeah, maybe.
It just learned for me. And then the third thing, this is like the craziest thing. When I was driving on this like mountain road, and it was... at first, it drove that so absurdly conservatively that it just was like sort of unusable.
Yeah.
But it's improved to where it's at least, it would be like if I were driving conservatively, as opposed to like even slower than a human would drive conservatively. So if I'm not like in a rush and if there's sort of no one behind me or whatever, and I just want to like relax, sure, it's fine. But it's not like driving aggressive. Anyway, the other day, so I was driving kind of slow or, you know, conservative, and then there was someone behind me. It actually pulled off from the shoulder and let the car behind me pass. It like added politeness to the driving. At first,
that's a good sign.
It was amazing. It's like when it did that, I'm like, what is it doing? And I'm like, oh my God, is it actually pulling over for a car to pass me? And it did. And then it just let it pass and then got back on the highway.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Namaste, as it was passed.
So I remain super impressed with this camera-only retail car self-driving solution.
Don't bet against the goat.
But, you know, as other friends point out to me, like Waymo's overall stats are just still way better. I mean, you know, there's anecdotal evidence and then there's like what happens with millions of people.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to the data, there's still a huge gap, but it's closing from my vantage point.
And to be clear, Waymo also, and Waymo's great too. I mean, different approach, but they're doing, I mean, I think Google's going to be just fine, as we've talked about as well. They just added, I think yesterday I saw, you can now take it to SFO.
Oh yeah, I saw. I think is it in trials? That's not widely rolled out. But.
Well, they have in trial now. You can already take it on the freeway. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go all the way up and down the peninsula, I think, right?
They won't let you go on like, yes, up and down the peninsula. You can't go on the coast yet. So like no Highway 1 type stuff. Okay. But eventually. I mean, when I say eventually, maybe not. So I guess like one kind of like meta comment or question for you guys is like, and for people listening, I don't know, man. Like, it really feels like we're crossing into the event horizon. And, you know, maybe we sound crazy to some people, but, you know, in preparing for this dinner, I went very deep on just like studying, like again, just look at the curves, compute curves, mm-hmm. the data curves. Don't ask too many questions. Just look at the curves. And, you know, I reread Gorin's scaling hypothesis stuff, The Bitter Lesson from Rich mm-hmm. Sutton. I reread Situational Awareness, that Leopold dude, who I forgot mm-hmm. his actual last name, but like I reread that again and I was like, oh man, he was right. And it's crazy because, you know, his giant alpha in 2024, and I think he now has a massive billion-dollar hedge fund, which is doing very well from what I can tell, was just like, just trust the curves. And yet in 2026, people still, for whatever reason, can't seem to like just zoom out and just trust the curves. If you do just trust the curves.
You gotta figure out which curves you're trusting.
Sure. But like, I mean, the basic one, let's just say is intelligence.
I'm gonna draw some curves in hand and pass the notes.
It's like, man, just trust it.
Just trust the curves, bro.
Send Bitcoin here. Trust it. I've told you so.
Yeah. DK, Steve, my guys, come on, send me some Bitcoin. But I mean, no, I mean, there are some curves which are very obvious to me. It's like intelligence is a function of energy and compute. And these curves go way back before the scaling laws papers from OpenAI in 2020, Chinchilla from DeepMind in 2022. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, you know, Hans Moravec we talked about in the 70s, Ray Kurzweil in the 90s. Like, it's just like compute, energy, intelligence. Just look at those curves. And you can like, yes, you can like kind of like massage them different ways. But if you really buy this stuff, then like seems to me like singularity is not only near, like it's here. And like, but what do you do with all that? On the one hand, it's like exciting and terrifying. And it's like, I don't know, do we just like watch in awe? Like there's another talk I really recommend. This is more out there for people, but for my Noster heads, there is The Final Interview with Terrence McKenna. Do you guys know that guy?
You've mentioned before.
Yeah. So I cannot recommend enough watching that final interview. And it's him just like zooming out from the 20,000 foot view and looking at intelligence doublings. And like, you know, he was a little perhaps early on his prediction, although I have some theories about maybe he wasn't, because his prediction was basically, he called it the, in a shout out to Pierre Teilhard-Chardin, the Omega Point or the transcendental object at the end of history.
Framing of the singularity.
So this is my take, right? So I read all these different people that have talked about intelligence doublings, and they all have different ways of describing it. Chardin famously wrote about the noosphere. So if you have the Earth and then the biological biosphere, and the noosphere is the sphere of mind that's enveloping us right now, he called it the Omega Point. Terrence calls it the, and he always has a beautiful, very interesting affect in his speech, the transcendental object at the end of time. Got to get some impersonations real.
Yeah.
Kurzweil calls it the singularity. I think it's all the same thing. I don't know.
Digital capital. Digital.
Capital.
As Terrence McKenna, though, I want to hear.
I mean, you got to zap me first, bro. DK, my guy. Send me a zap, then I'll give you.
Have you zapped his meme page?
Yeah.
I don't think I did.
Have you done a single zap?
I didn't think I did.
I've done multiple if you haven't.
I don't think I did.
Steve's my guy.
I give you the love on that.
All right.
DK is going to be my guy next week. We're going to be vibe coding together. So.
Yes, we're going to do it together. Yeah. I'll send you enough. What else are you? Are you vibe coding new stuff now, or is MemePay kind of, where's your head on that?
So I did do some vibe coding on Monday. Shout out to Map. I mean, look, as a meta comment, I love vibe coding. It's cool. As I told DK, though, if one enjoys all the things, amazing, but I keep just being like, yeah, give it a month. Like, I don't know how fast this is all going to accelerate. I will say getting 80% of the way with meanpay.app, send me his app, was really easy. And then stuff just started breaking. And so I don't think we're, I mean, on the one hand, I'm like, I look at the doublings and we're very close to singularity. On the other hand, it's like lived experience. There's still stuff that doesn't work. And yeah, basically my database stopped working since I'm using Replit. It's a giant pain in the ass because Replit has a production database and a testing database. Amjad, or if someone at Replit is listening, like, please get rid of that. It'd be so nice. Just test and prod, baby. Like, let it rip. I don't want
to
mess.
Or at least give
me, it used to work that way. Or at least give me the option. Like, I don't want the damn testing environment database. It keeps messing up because it reads the testing environment database. I want the prod.
You know, there's a flag when you start up Claude Code.
Yeah.
I always use it. It's Claude and then you minus dangerously hyphen skip hyphen permissions.
That's what I want.
You want Replit.
Hyphen
dangerously skip permission.
You understand why historically software separates.
Yeah, but like that's boomer talk.
Think about how
who needs to verify.
But think about how you're complaining about your database was gone. Well, what happens if you actually have a really popular app and then the database is gone?
I hear you.
Permanently.
Yeah.
And so I think they should probably have two modes for people that are like actually trying to build business and people that just like let me get from idea to like just let her rip. And so, yeah, it could just be like Replit dangerous mode. But it's just like the point is like the magic moment is I talk to it. And that was something I learned from you last night is like, I want to do a lot more just like speaking. I let it rip and it works. And it's just like, it was like, I did like 2 hours of messing on this stupid database thing and it couldn't work. Thank you to Matt who jumped in the pilot seat and fixed it in like 3 minutes. So again, that leads me to believe my own skills are lacking / the AI is not there, but yeah.
Which is why I'd push back on the you just wait a month until it gets better.
Yeah.
Because that's the opposite of like the message we sent last night at Builder and what we'd recommend to people, which is like get in now because there are skills to be developed, right? So don't wait. Will it improve a lot in a month? Yes. But
you want to ride the wave of improvement. Don't want to
jump in there.
Yeah.
And then related, I mean, there were several really good nuggets last night at Builder. Let's see. So yeah, one is jump in right away. What did you say? I had it on the tip of my tongue and I forgot it.
While you're thinking of that, I want to give a shout out to Vinny. Everyone has a testing environment. Some people also have a production one. My guy. There's a guy after my own heart.
My guy.
Vinny, my guy.
It'll come back to me what you said brilliantly. There's another person who came last night. He pointed out really interesting stuff because I was talking about the Flint community and how like we, you know, other people can like give you feedback on your alpha level apps, etc. And he's like, you can tell Claude to, create different personas to test your app, right? So you don't, at least as a first wave, you don't even need humans to test your app. You just create all these like different personas to test your app. And what else? He had a bunch of good.
He talked about I had demoed The Shed, which is kind of a jazz pianist practice app. And he said.
But you demoed here 2 weeks ago. Last week.
Briefly.
We talked about it here. But then he was like, imagine, you know, he'll tell Claude, imagine you're the 1,000 best jazz pianists in the world. Now use this app and practice with it and see how it works. So I think that as like a concept of a prompt, he mentioned it as well for like a dentist. Like he had a friend or somebody he knows who's building an app to help dentists run their practice. And he's like, now you're the top 1,000 dentists in the world and you need to use this app. So you can kind of interact with it. I think he was sort of posing it as an alternative to the need to collaborate with humans for this. And I see it as augmentative because I do a lot where I have Claude write its own tests and try to bang on its own stuff and try to break it. That's, I'd say, a very common pattern, but that doesn't like obviate my need to collaborate or the benefit I get from, you know, shooting something off in one of our chats and getting some feedback on, oh, it doesn't quite work like that. Or what if you tried it like this instead? I think you can take almost any idea and there's almost like infinite number of kind of implementations of the concept of like, take, you know, a social network for agents. There's infinite number of ways that could work. We have an example of one of them, but like there's still infinite unexplored ones. So I don't think it means you don't get value out of collaborating with humans. I think you still get value, but you can anything that's just a pure grind, you can give to somebody else.
Yeah. I remember what you said that was related. You said that everyone is underusing AI.
Yeah.
Whether you're someone who's vibe coding daily and totally into it, they're still underusing it. Or people who are not, who are waiting a month, right?
Right.
Soon, TM.
I think we're and not just vibe coding, but using. I mean, there are examples given last night where people are using it to save money or time, money, etc. Because we were talking about the cost. We talked about the cost in the show last week, and like different ways to justify: is it worth $20 a month? Is it worth $200 a month? Who can afford that? Well, you know, if you're like, oh, this is a better use of funds than paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for college, then obviously you can justify it. Or the, you know, saving time or money.
Did you give a good example of like, you know, you need to deal with some bureaucracy or a lawyer?
You're not supposed to dox people at Builder. It's Chatham House rule, Max.
Somebody at Builder had to deal with the county bureaucracy.
I believe it was Moltbot. had to deal with the county bureaucracy. But like, I mean, reviewing legal docs or whatever, like obviously, you know, hire a lawyer, do your own research, blah, blah, blah. But like 99% of the time.
But also just, don't hire you.
Yeah, just like, test and prod.
Well, what's crazy is your counterparty in these situations is probably also underutilizing AI, probably even more underutilizing it than you are. So if you get a massive edge just by saying, hey, like, you know, Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini, what your favorite, write me a thing as if you were a lawyer. I'm not asking for legal advice, but write me a thing so that I'm going to use this as a letter to the county. And then when you send it to the county, the person on the other end is like, oh, wow, this looks like the person really, this sounds like it was written by a lawyer. So I assume all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted and stuff.
What a weird world.
And so if you're using it, you get that massive advantage that they take you very seriously. And if you're not using it, you're just playing the old game, right?
Well, it's kind of crazy because in a weird way, it's like, it's like one of the major product market fits for AI is just navigating this like crap, useless bureaucracy, which we now have. And it's kind of funny because it's like the bots, I could see like, I wonder if they're going to like quickly realize like, yo, this is so dumb. Why are we still operating like it's like 1850? Or if they're going to like learn and like accelerate based on like, yes, please, like give me your 5 to-dos and action items for the week. And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a multiple worlds that spin. There's going to be like AI is a way to like DDoS the old systems and then the AIs that just go off and, you know, test and prod.
Well, I think the AIs are going to want the tools that I think a lot of the tools that we talk about are based on like, you know, cryptographic signing of a thing. And I think AI is going to be like, yeah, we can trust that.
Yeah.
And I don't think people have focused enough on how much that matters because users typically are like, just give me I want to Google auth into that or like, let me sign in the way that I'm comfortable with. And AIs don't care about what's comfortable. They just care about like what makes sense. So they actually analyze the thing, they look at the 5,000 options available, like this is the one I want. And it always comes back to like something that's more verifiable that you don't have to trust and you can actually verify and is math-based. Like,
so I think
it's a great time for all the topics we talk about.
I think that's a really great point. It kind of dovetails off of like the agents debating Solana versus Bitcoin. And like, I mean, we're obviously very biased, but we think there's like an obvious actual answer to that question. Similar to like, hey man, just trust me, bro. Here's my screenshot from DocuSign versus like, I'm going to need to see cryptographic proof. What, you know, I'm curious for both of you guys, but I know you've spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about Nostr over the last 5 years or whatever it's been. How do you think if you were today designing experiments to let some of these bots try and evolve on Nostr, like what do you think is like interesting fodder to explore?
Well, let's take the thing that we have some evidence of is like, you know, Molt Book is kind of an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of what works is, you know, whoever were the first few people participating created moments of spectacle that could be shared on Twitter that can then go viral and people talk about it and that kind of compounds. So there's a lot of like social consensus building that has worked for that. I think the idea is super fascinating, but I think the idea didn't just explode. There's people who are creating a certain framing of it and helping it become more visible because of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to, and I love the fact that it happened. I love the fact that we have it. It I think inspires a lot of ideas of what can be, and gives you like, you know, a piece of evidence of it. But like, do you actually want it with this like sort of weird, like human involved, you know, authentication system? That seems not super good. And like, is it going to run algorithms to surface these things to the different bots? That seems kind of like not super sensical. So I would imagine that if you wanted to experiment with that kind of thing in a Nostr environment, instead of trying to like make it big and everywhere, try to make it like really high signal for like two bots talking to each other. Mm. Like come up with a topic or some problem you're trying to solve, and then just have them connected to each other writing back and forth and see where that goes. And then if that turns out to be interesting, maybe you invite a third in, maybe you invite a fourth in. But don't try to make it like big, try to make it good. You know?
What's an example of a topic you might start with?
Well, like one of the things that has been on my mind is, you know, these like I built this like open source prediction market thing. And there's a lot of like Bitcoin payments and you know, verification problems, and how do you split the payments and how do you keep it non-custodial and stuff. Like maybe I would set up two bots on Nostr to debate that discussion and see if they come up with like a better plan or path.
This is good.
You know, where they're just, I just like set them loose on each other to go solve that, and they never give up. Just be like, keep asking questions until you get to the bottom of this. And if you feel like you have the final design, then build the thing, right?
And maybe, yeah, maybe they'll have a new protocol suggestion. And Steve, how do these mole bots apply for spiral grant?
Why?
That's a good question. Yeah.
I'm interested in working on that project with you.
Yeah.
I think that would be really fascinating.
I think we should actually mention that for a second, because you're sparking in my mind. You asked me what I've learned from my vibe coding. One thing that I think you've run into an issue with is, so we talked about what I'm building with meme chat last time. What I want is the ability for anyone to create a meme. You can then, someone can zap it, tip it, and you get the payment. And that already works, but all the payment goes to, I think, the MDK wallet that I've set up.
Right.
Now, what I really want is to do splits. And so, you know, you, DK, come to my site, you create a funny meme, one that I need to create. I don't have this template yet, but it's like the Somali pirate saying, I'm the developer now, something like that. And it's on my PM to-do list, because I feel like Winnie the Pooh now, like, you know, like writing down random shit, like I'm a PM now. So you create that meme or whatever, come on my site, and then someone zaps it, whether it's on Nostr. So it's already published as a Nostr event. Boomi tested this from Albi, which is really cool. Still some stuff to fix. It's not showing inline. It's always the horrible things. So like, I've gone back and forth, like, why won't this show inline on Primal or WhatsApp? And there's just like all this like crap, which is something maybe the bots could figure out. But anyways, so then someone zaps it. The platform will say it gets 10%. You get 90%. Then Steve's like, oh, that's a great meme. I'm going to share it over here. And then he gets cut into the splits. He gets 5%, you know, you know, and then there's like a structure that looks kind of like this. The guy below him gets, you know, 4.5. I think
you've invented multi-level marketing.
Exactly. I'm glad you saw that. The problem that I've run into, I think it's similar to yours, is at least as far as I can tell, and I've asked a lot of smart people, there's not a way to do that non-custodially. Like the only way to do that with something like Nostr Wallet Connect today is to forward the payments. So someone gets a payment, the platform, they forward 90% to DK, who forwards 5% to Steve. And that's fine, but there's like some question of like, you know, like, are you actually transmitting money or this and that? But if you could do that non-custodially, there's no question.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have a great way to do that, but maybe we should try and come back next week with a new protocol from the bots.
I think the problem is protocol developers think it's impossible or don't know how to do it with channel-based systems like Lightning. So that may be the case, but then maybe that's not the case though.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's like a completely different design. I'd be interested in exploring everything, but like on Arc or Spark, which are not channel-based, like maybe doing it there.
You can do eCash too.
It doesn't seem like this is unsolvable, but maybe we just don't.
I don't see how eCash solved it, because
it's custodial.
What we're trying to solve is for it not to be custodial.
Well,
so then you're just solving it with a custodial solution.
Yeah, fair.
Even
like Spark has trust as well. Arguably, though, it would be better than the kind of trust that Prism has on Lightning. And I think actually, not arguably, but sort of definitively better on the trust spectrum, even if it's not perfect. But Arc might actually be the the most promising area to explore.
We should ask Claudebot.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, we were talking about that idea of having two bots on Nostr debate things with each other, right? There's another idea that we had chatted in our special chat about, which I think is actually worth some expansion. So within the Flint community, there's a private view that if you're a member, you can see that's called Ideas. Mm. And it's a channel where you submit ideas. You may want to work on it. You may not want to work on it, but maybe it inspires somebody else. Maybe it attracts collaborators or kind of thought partners or kind of debate. Mm. And so that right now, it's such a good channel that when I referenced it and you pulled it up at Builders last night, because then you get to see...
Right, what people are thinking.
A lot of people who are... If you're not yet in Flint, you don't get to see that. So at least to like demo that this thing exists. But I was thinking it'd be great to have just a open public idea box where anybody who wants could basically write a bit of a prompt or an idea for something that should be built. People could debate it and discuss it, and then you could fund it. So it's almost like crowdfunding for collaborative vibe coding.
I love it.
And so you build an idea bot. Maybe you have bots debate the merits or the architecture or kind of the MVP or the process you want to go about. And then people are like, oh, I would like to use that. I'm going to send it 100 Bitcoin.
Yep.
That's great. I thought we were going with that. Like crowdfund paying for the bots to debate and come up with a solution, right? Because that costs money.
That costs money. That's probably, I guess it's orders of magnitude less money than the building itself. So maybe that gets sort of like wrapped
more easily subsidized.
Yeah, it gets subsidized by the stuff that actually gets built.
I love this idea. And actually, I think Christopher Nabo was mentioning that he wanted to do something like something very similar. And he was like, oh, we'll need like $100 worth of compute to do this. It's like a guess. And I told him, we'll just post it on Nostr or Stackernus. I bet people will zap it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about, I think we tweeted out, we're going to talk about crypto is dying. I was imagining talking about sentiment. But
what the hell is this crypto, Alex? Yeah. sharing that, but shitcoins are dying.
Do you know that it references a specific tweet?
No. Yeah. I don't know. One you shared, right?
I may have shared it, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. What is this tweet?
Plus there was, well, we can talk about that tweet, but also, for those not paying attention, the Bitcoin price peaked at 125K. It's 80 something now, right? So not some like disastrous crash like past cycles, but certainly down. And then juxtapose that with gold, silver, copper,
everything just else. Like
all these commodities which are taking off, which just adds to anxiety, I think, among Bitcoin bulls or crypto bulls. So then people are seeking explanations. Why is this happening right now? Right. So we've talked about quantum a lot. How much of an impact is that having? In early October, there was some huge leverage crypto explosion that there's rumors and maybe with some data and substance behind it that people got blown up there. People who were trading crypto but also have large Bitcoin bags and they had to reach into those Bitcoin bags to cover their losses. Mm. How much of an impact was that? Do you have that tweet?
I got the tweet up, yeah. It's too long to read the whole thing, but the concept is, question poses, why has Bitcoin had a down year? Two words, crypto contagion. So it's basically kind of like you said, they have to reach into their Bitcoin bags to subsidize losses and other things. Not a silent IPO, it's not OG selling, it's because crypto is dying and Bitcoin is a correlated asset. Crypto and Bitcoin have a lot of correlation because people who are in crypto often also understand that Bitcoin is interesting, and so they often hold it.
But OG selling, that's another narrative mm-hmm. that's been posited. Then there's also, so much hype around AI.
Yep.
Things are moving to AI. I mean, we talk about AI on the show all the time. We say, none of us are using it enough, right? So we're AI bulls. But then miners, we talked about that on the show, miners are dropping Bitcoin, moving to AI or adding AI along with Bitcoin. So sentiment feels kind of at best meh, mm-hmm. if not negative right now.
I would say bad.
And bad. And then another narrative is Bitcoin has been positioned, the strongest narrative is digital gold. And it's now revealing it lost because gold is taking off
mm-hmm. so far.
Yeah, well, I'll get to my...
This
is not my opinion. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying that's the narrative I'm seeing and hearing. I think you guys have too. You know, in actual, I think it's kind of funny. We, not to toot our own horns on this show, but we were talking about gold to Bitcoin price long before the rise from like 3,000 to 5,400 per ounce of gold. Like it was last summer we started talking about that. And we said first of all, it's a little surprising that over a four-year period, it's cherry-picked time period, but that the Bitcoin gold price hadn't changed in 4 years. Again, cherry-picked time frame, but still, like I think our own mentality and probably most people in Bitcoin just think it's like you could choose any time frame and Bitcoin blows gold away, and that's not true. And that was when it was around, I think, 3,000 an ounce. Now it's like 5,400. We should look up what the price is now. It would be dramatically different. But in any case, lots of negativity that I see or like reaching for explanations. Right. We talked about, I think, gold in the last show or one of the recent shows. I don't view that as a concern whatsoever with respect to the digital gold narrative for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because the new big buyers of gold are like Poland's central bank and other countries' central banks.
India.
I think it's unrealistic that in 2026 that all these central banks from fairly large countries and economies that they've been so orange-pilled that they'd buy Bitcoin instead of gold. I just think it's not mature enough yet.
Even if there's a few people who are responsible for the treasury of those countries, they probably don't have an operational way to handle it.
Yeah.
Where they do have decades, so it's maybe centuries,
unrealistic
how to handle gold.
Millennia.
I don't view this as like, oh, Bitcoin lost to gold, so the narrative has been shattered. It's like, no, we're just not there yet maturity-wise. It's still to be determined whether it will win over those types of use cases. But gold's rise is because of that buying. I don't view that as shattering that narrative. I think another really important point too, we talk so much about Bitcoin like daily use and use it as a currency and use it for AI payments and retail payments on here. Sort of getting back to like the white paper title, like currency, right? We talk a lot about that. We care a lot about that. And we shouldn't lose sight of that narrative either. I mean, like while I fully believe in the digital gold store of value, narrative value of Bitcoin, of course, it's been 99% of the narrative the past like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Spending has not been probably the past 8 years. Like spending didn't work out in 2013 and 2014, and then it just like hasn't been part of the narrative since then. There's all kinds of reasons why we covered it in the show, but a lot of those reasons why have been solved or substantially improved. There's still a bunch of hurdles in front of us, but I think what we can do now, I mean, keep knocking down those hurdles, but just, and we're trying to get the word out, but others, you know, more people and people with broader reach get the word out about that this is an important narrative too for Bitcoin. And its success is not solely based on digital gold narrative.
Right. And I actually have a friend who's very obsessed with narrative, and he's like, what's up? Like, gold's winning this narrative. We really got to ask ourselves some hard questions about that. And my response to him is basically like, yes, narratives matter and they're very important, but you want to be ahead of the next narrative, not chasing down the last narrative. And so, you know, you think about, I mean, you know, obviously Google had a huge run up last year, but before that, everybody said 10 blue links, that's dead. OpenAI wins the future. And now people are like, oh, actually, no, you know, 10 blue links. Then there's also this AI thing and all these chips. And so I think the narrative actually is very quick to change when a new meme takes hold.
Yeah.
And
memes rule the world, baby.
Memes rule the world. And so do you want to be like late to the previous narrative, or do you want to be early to the next narrative? Early to the next narrative is always the right answer. It's just hard to figure out exactly what that is.
So I agree with all of that, with some caveats. I think the one thing that maybe I'm asking myself some hard questions, and the answer to the hard question I'm asking is I have not been bullish enough on AI. And if you're really singularity build, which increasingly by the day I am, then it's like, you know, it's like people used to ask me, it's like, what's the next San Francisco when we were dying in 2020? I was like, obviously San Francisco. They're like, right. The Bitcoin community, one day it's going to be somewhere else. Like, it's obviously going to be San Francisco. Right. And so when people are like, what's the next AI? I'm kind of like, well, AI, because with the recursive loops and all the energy and infrastructure that needs to get built, like, I think we're just at the beginning of it. Now, having said all that, I don't think that's necessarily bad for Bitcoin. I think it could be really good for Bitcoin. I think you could go either way with it. On the one hand, the risk in my mind is, you know, there's black swan risk. Like, if AIs really take off and they're off in Molbot, like, we think they're going to use Bitcoin. That's very likely. It seems like they are so far, but like, we also don't know what they might come up with on their own. That's just, it's just an unknown unknown. So that's a risk. At the same time, if we can get them using Bitcoin very quickly, and it seems like there's people working on that today, that could be a huge run for Bitcoin, where it's just all of a sudden now, hey, Bitcoin is the currency of the AIs. It's about to take off. I do think, though, to Embarrass Wheel, shout out to our homie Barris, I agree with this, that, you know, people seem to be getting distracted by the perceived opportunity cost. I think that's real. I think if you have investors who were early and saw Bitcoin as this is, you know, the next big curve to bet on, and they're seeing the curve right now, and they're like, okay, we have a lot of vertical left in AI. I mean, you have limited resources and you have to pick which one to put it on. To me, that's the explanation that resonates the most.
Also, the trust the curves is, I agree with, but you also have to, understand which curves you're trusting and how you're expressing.
I was gonna like, poke
it
Max.
Is it just buy everything that claims to be an AI company?
If you trust the curves, Bitcoin's down and silver's, and gold is up. So
are you buying silver?
Like, sell your Bitcoin for the stuff going up. So
I mean, you gotta know which curve to trust.
But I want to be clear. I'm not just saying trust the curves, bro. Like, I'm actually being pretty specific about this. I'm saying energy and computation and intelligence is a function of those. And so if you do trust,
but like DK said, you have to know which curves to trust.
And I'm being very clear. Like, I have said this before, and I mean this. I don't know if I would ever invest in a startup, a software startup, ever again. Honestly, I think the companies that matter are Anthropic, XAI and Elon Co., and Google, and probably OpenAI, and that's probably it, and NVIDIA. We talked about that last time. And then I think all the energy infrastructure builders.
So AMD and Intel are off the table?
I mean maybe, but like,
they
could
argue they're AI companies.
Okay, fine. I mean, if you want to add like
TSMC?
If you want to add like the tier B on there, they're going to be fine too. But like, if you just want to maximize returns, tier A is where I would bet, but fine.
But still subjective.
And the energy, it is subjective. I'm just giving my perspective. But my point is, you know, am I buying silver or gold? Well, I think silver, a big part of the run-up is it's necessary for solar panels. And if you're super
someone
solar
says
filled,
it's down 28% today. So I literally...
Sure, but look at it over
literally,
the last 6 months.
I literally had a call from someone yesterday saying, like, I'm thinking about selling all my Bitcoin. I would talk to a friend and I'm sell all my Bitcoin and buy like gold and silver because it's going up. And I'm like, that is just crazy. I mean, I basically made the point you made. It's like, you know, history doesn't necessarily repeat, right? I mean, basically, what's your thesis, right?
Yes.
That's what's important.
I agree.
Don't make these sudden like momentum buys or sells. Yeah.
I want to be very clear. There's a big difference between the momentum, and it's hard, right? And you want to think about this as rationally as possible. Like, there's just like, hey, man, like, you know, it's 2017 again. Like, we're up all the way to 20K. Let's keep going. And then we crash, right? I think there's a fundamental difference between, do you believe this is momentum and it's just going to come down? And maybe there's like some medium ground where it is short term, or do you really believe we're at the early stages of a takeoff and the takeoff is about to go vertical? And like, you know, again, you can debate like, what do you do if that's the case? But, and I'm not saying Bitcoin is a bad thing. There's a very, very good case that Bitcoin is one of the only assets that does well in that world where there's AI takeoff. But like, I think it really comes down to like, what I'm noticing in the world is there's a bifurcation. There are people that are crazy AGI pilled. Most of them are the ones actually developing the models. And then there's people that are not yet. And that's what I see as a split.
Yeah. Just another anecdote. A person called me who has a fairly good amount of Bitcoin holdings. And they're talking about buying copper.
Right.
And I'm like,
do you even know why?
I don't know the thesis.
It's gone up
6x. I think I looked it up. Gone up 6x the past few years or whatever. I guess that's the reason why. But I mean, obviously, I mean, these commodities like copper or silver, I mean, clearly they are valuable. They're used.
Yeah.
But they should not have a monetary premium.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know exactly, actually, I don't even really know how much monetary premium they have, but they're clearly valuable in that they have these industrial uses, commercial uses.
So if demand supply gets out of whack, you want to, and you know, supply is exceeding or demand exceeding supply, owning it can make sense. But my, but it's just a, first of all, it's a very different investment than gold or certainly Bitcoin. Gold has some industrial use, but it's primarily monetary premium. The other is much less monetary premium. Bitcoin is pure monetary premium because it has no
interest. No industrial use cases.
Yeah. And so, first of all, it's just very different investment. But then the second thing I'd ask is like, okay, looking at future TAM and compare, like I actually think the run-up in gold is phenomenal news for Bitcoin because gold's gone from about $10 trillion to almost $40 trillion.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I haven't looked checked the price today, but you know, it hit like $37+ trillion.
Oh, mommy's.
Which is like we were
looking at like, okay, now all of a sudden, I mean, it used to be this sort of like, I mean, you know, Bitcoin's a sideshow, but like gold's definitely a sideshow compared to like the bond and stock market. But we are looking at US bond market and gold is almost the same size as the US bond market.
Wow.
It's over half the size of the U.S. stock market.
Wow.
So they're now comparable. I mean, if it goes to 10K, then it's the same size, right? So that's...
Do you warm up to the idea of not holding S&P 500 index?
What? Oh, what?
Oh.
I'll let you guys discuss this. I'll be right back.
I still don't understand that argument.
Drops it all and walks out.
I still recommend people who want stock exposure and to keep it simple just buy... S&P 500 index, yes.
Hunting it's like vibes with this one. No.
Yes, very, very low fees, very, very good tax properties, and you get diverse exposure.
There we go.
I'm not here to shill stock indexes. But my point is, I think it's gold depreciation is good news. It's good news for Bitcoin because, first of all, for the digital gold narrative, what's the TAM? Well, it always used to be, well, gold's the easiest explanation to someone who's not orange pilled yet from an investor standpoint has always been digital gold. And it's like, well, it's 10 trillion. So if we go from 100 billion to 10 trillion, you can get, you know, so now it's 40 trillion, right? Yeah. And because then Bitcoin at 2 trillion, and it's like, well, it can still 5x from now. And then all of a sudden, like Saylor and others are inventing new TAMs, like, oh, it's going to take over the entire economy and be $1 trillion, not a trillion, but like $1,000 trillion, a quadrillion, right? There's ways you can draw the entire economy. I've seen real estate estimates from 300 to 600 trillion. So if it's 600 trillion, maybe you can get to 1,000 trillion. How are we going to 10x or 100x Bitcoin? Oh, it takes over the entire economy. But it, just sticking to the simple explanation, which I think find the most plausible and believable, is gold. Well, now 40 trillion in gold and Bitcoin's under 2 trillion, that's over 20x. So is copper going to 20x?
Well, I want to make two points in here that I think are very clear. So again, you said Bitcoin is very different than the metals play. The gold, you know, has some industrial use cases, but Bitcoin is pure monetary premium. I want to be clear, like the reason one would be buying into the metal stuff absent just like FOMO momentum, which is certainly part of it, is if you listen to someone like Elon saying he's going to put hundreds of gigawatts of compute in space in 3 years. And I know sometimes Elon doesn't always hit his time frame, but let's say he's even directionally right. Then you look, you say, what might one need to build hundreds of gigawatts of compute? And you go work backwards, silver for the solar panels, what's in the batteries? I think that's like the use case of what's happening now is industrial. That has nothing to do with Bitcoin.
You may find silver out there.
Well, and so I think, and then if you want to go to the next level, right, then you say, okay, well, if this is always the reason that Bitcoin was proposed is like, you know, we're going to have asteroid. If you really believe in the singularity and all that's going to happen quickly, then you're just like, okay, we'll just go either, you know, mine the gold and silver from asteroids, or we'll figure out alchemy and we'll just make it here on Earth. And like, if we have free energy, then like in theory, that should be possible. So I think that then brings you back to Bitcoin as Bitcoin is the perfect store of value monetary premium. But, you know, time frame matters. Like, are we talking, is this 6 months? Is this 6 years? Like, that's a question. And then I think, you know, I would be reticent not to ask. I think we as a community, the real question I always ask myself, if we're valuing the Bitcoin thesis is, has anything fundamentally changed. The fact that precious metals are popping, irrelevant. The fact that all this other stuff, irrelevant. Right. How long I'm tired for. The question I ask myself is there something that has fundamentally changed about Bitcoin? One possibility is quantum. We've talked about that. I don't know if we have the quantum one pager out or whatever yet, but like, that's a real question. I don't think we should ignore it. But then there's this, to me, the only thing that makes me concerned is the unknown unknowns. Once you hit AGI, you know, do they break the second law of thermodynamics with new physics? Do they figure out new form, like break cryptography in some way that we're not expecting with quantum or something else? I don't think those things are likely necessarily, but when you're racing through a singularity, by definition, you don't know. And so, I don't know, like, does it make sense for someone to hold their shiny rock just in case?
But then if you're going there, though, then it's all, you got to question like
everything.
U.S. dollar, treasuries, totally. Bonds, stocks.
100%.
All of that could blow up.
100%.
I mean, it's a totally different world.
And maybe so then, something
so
like
should,
gold.
So should stocks go to zero?
Well, it depends. I mean, everyone except for the
people are saying, oh, some people who are like, view quantum or AGI as a threat, it's like, well, Bitcoin has no value because this could happen. Well, then I would argue, okay, stocks should have no value. They literally should be worth nothing.
I mean,
because it could, we can come up with a scenario. It's possible.
That's possible
like,
too.
Because you've mentioned before in the show, like that money, that like there is, money is not needed anymore.
And to be
we're
clear.
Abundancy. No one has a need for anything. So why do we need companies
we'll
anymore?
But all
the companies will go to zero.
So, I mean, I think you have to seriously.
And who even cares
everything.
About? Who cares if our Bitcoin goes to zero?
Exactly.
If we have abundance,
if I have everything, we're all just friends.
If I have everything
right,
I want, everything I want in life, why do I care about my investment portfolio?
And that's great. And that's one positive way of looking at it.
So then that's not a reason to sell your Bitcoin, because in the world where money still matters. You want to hold Bitcoin, arguably.
To be
in a world where money doesn't matter, then who cares if I was or was not holding Bitcoin?
I agree with you 100%. To be fair, I think there is another argument, though, that says, you know, if something happens during takeoff that we're not expecting with Bitcoin, but sadly, and this is the kind of, you know, maybe less than ideal situation, stocks are going to get protected basically by violence, which would be the U.S. military.
Always has been.
That's the other answer. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying that's.
Well, in dollars, but I still don't see like the.
Anyways, for another show. But
anyway, I think one of the properties of Bitcoin that I think has been, you know, foundational, fundamental, like you cannot have Bitcoin without, is the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
And with bots and AGI. Potentially around the corner, happening now, maybe during the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You could imagine if there were a better way, you know, it's not, you could imagine that agents could come up with a new form of an Immaculate Conception that we have not imagined yet.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't, again, it's like it's super long tail risk. It's not a reason to really be concerned, but it's the kind of thing
it's not impossible.
I think it's worth just like,
actually,
observing.
Let me pull on the string because I think it's really interesting. We don't know what this new fair distribution model would be, but if somehow it's fair, whatever that means, it's interesting to think about then how do people get in, how much, what amounts, etc. Meaning like, oh, well, if person A has 10 times more money than person B, are they going to get 10 times more of this new thing or not? Is that fair or not? Or is fair that everyone in the world gets the same amount, in which case it doesn't matter what your current assets are.
If you're born the day after the distribution,
and if
is that fair?
Permanent underclass is that what the kids
are
called?
How would this new Immaculate Conception be introduced? It just seems fundamentally impossible that the whole world wakes up at the same time. So if it's like, 0.001% of people learn on day one, and then there's multiple waves of awareness, right? Well, the early awareness is going to still have this valuable Bitcoin, and they realize, oh shit, Bitcoin's going to zero because the AI created a way better system.
Yep.
And they sell their Bitcoin for this new one, and they accumulate a lot of that. So it still just seems like fundamentally there'll be waves, and whoever's early takes risk. But what if they're wrong?
Yeah.
And then they dumped all their Bitcoin. Oh shit.
Yeah,
and they shouldn't have, right? So it's the same kind of risk reward trade-off you get if you're an early adopter or laggard. So I don't see much different there.
Yeah. I mean, it's more like a thought experiment than like actual concern. But
the other thought I had too, like if AGI comes up with a new money system that's way, way, way better. If we're in a world where AGI is kind of if that new money is not good for humans, but good for, it's just used by AI,
yeah,
then I would argue that humans will still value Bitcoin.
Two economies could emerge.
Because like, well, this money is optimized for us, not the AI. Or it also works for the AI, but it's up for us. And also we have our private keys and the AI can't access them, right? Where if the AI creates a new money,
yep.
Well, if the AI creates its own money, then you live in a world where, I mean, can you have your private access and the AI doesn't have it? I don't know. I mean, it depends on what that money is.
All I know is, I mean, Vinny's giving us the alpha. It's time to just buy buckets of DRAM, boys. So
that's the new commodity.
Spicy show. That's what Nick says. Some other people. I think my big takeaway is I'm certainly not advocating panic or anything like that. I just think it's good to go with eyes wide open and just understand a lot of things are changing. And I mean, it's probably gonna be a really awesome time. Like, I think it's important we keep a positive attitude
for sure.
Too. You know, so like more likely than not, it's gonna be
just
fun.
Being psyched about all of the new tools we get to play with and the way the world's going. I mean, you know, there's good and bad, but on the net,
seems really good.
It's an exciting time to be. To be living.
It's never been easier to make your ideas reality. It's never been easier to collaborate with friends, with new, you know, agentic friends. And I don't know. It's going to be cool.
All righty.
All right. On that
good
note,
show, guys.
We will wrap. Finger gun.